Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, GK Nyambura. I know it's been a while. I've been all over the place. Have I actually? No, I've just been in my house. I've been working and going out and thinking a lot about my life and going through a breakup, which is not as bad as it usually would be when you're younger. I feel like I'm actually okay. So I also took time. What was I doing actually? What the fuck was I doing? I think it's actually like 2 months since I last made an episode. Anyway, welcome back to the podcast. I'm your host, GK Nyambura. And today, I actually have so much shit to talk about because I have not been making episodes. So, naturally, I have stuff to say. Wow. I don't know what's happening to my voice. And I just ran out of water in my tumbler. No. I have to go get it downstairs. Do I need water right now? Anyway. In the span of time that I have been gone, oh, I'm also getting a bit of a homer, so that's also what's going on with my voice. But in the span of time that I have been gone, so much has happened. Oh my god, the most has happened, and I'm just too excited to talk about it. And most of it is just brain rot. So, did you guys see that man who ate his wife's relaxer that she left in the fridge? You know, I just like watched him have a reaction. You know, he had like an allergic reaction, and it's not that he tasted it just a bit. He ate quite a sizable amount of it actually, and then he started to react. And when his wife was telling us about it, it was more from like a comedic point of view rather than a what the fuck point of view. And I realized that a lot of people were like, oh my god, these are grounds. These are legit grounds, because like that's just him not wanting her to have something nice. Because he saw it in the fridge. He thought it looked good. It does look good. And he thought to eat it. And just so he makes sure that she doesn't have it. You get what I mean? Like, he'll just eat it just so she doesn't get to have it. Which is so ridiculous to me. Because, like, didn't you taste it at first when you first tasted it? What was going through your mind? How absent-minded were you? What's going on with your stomach? Doesn't relaxer burn? That bitch burns. Like, aren't you in physical pain doing this? So there's hella think pieces, and that brings me to the question: would you leave your man if he ate your if that happened to you? Would you leave the man, or would this constitute to at least an ick? My second question is: are these grounds? Say you actually are in love with this man, and you actually care for him, and you know you love him, and you will see a future together. Do you think that if he ate your relaxer, you would still stay? And the same, think about it also from a masculine perspective, like a man's POV. If she did something just so he doesn't get to enjoy it later. I don't know if you get what I mean. But are those grounds for leaving someone? I don't know. What are grounds anymore? Like, because I can tell you for a fact, I leave relationships because I'm just like very I take details very seriously. So when you're not keen to detail, you don't impress me. And then I feel like it's just not working. So like when you didn't notice the first 3 minutes that you're eating something that's like poison, how am I supposed to treat you after that? Now, am I being too strict? You see, this whole relationship thing is just like crazy. I don't know. I don't know. Like, it's you're constantly conflicted, because like the little things, if you focus on the little things, voila, you'll just never have a relationship. But then again, is eating relaxer crazy? It is. That's actually insane. Would you attach it to yourself? Are things in the fridge? What system do you have around food? What's your relationship with food? Are you allowed to eat whatever is in the fridge? Or, like, there's, like, so much, so many nuanced situations. So, well, we move to the next topic. Oh, also, I've been thinking, is it crazy to actually sit and have what you might term a dumb conversation? Or, like, a conversation with a dumb person? Like, if, for example, I went on a podcast with a known, publicly known stupid person. Publicly known stupid person is hilarious. But yeah, on, like, an idiot's podcast, and we talk about some bullshit topics, like, what would we talk about? Something stupid, like, a woman should always submit to the leadership of the man in the relationship, even when he's wrong. This is an actual sentence I heard. Rich betas in Nairobi. What was I saying? Shit, I can't lose that train of thought. I need to actually remember. A woman should submit to the leadership of the man, even when he's wrong, so that she can be like, oh, you see, I told you that wouldn't work, but, like, you should let the man lead you into destruction, basically, because that's what it is. Okay, let me say it unbiasedly, and then we discuss it. He said that a woman should only submit to the leadership of a man, even when he's wrong, so that he can turn around and be like, oh, my woman was right, actually, I should have listened. So it's things like that I hear from a day to day. Like, now if I sit down with someone who wants to discuss that, what are we doing? You know, like, what is that? How does that portray me? Does that dumb me down in terms of how you perceive me? Like, is your perception of me now a little misconstrued by that one interaction? If I keep doing it, also, if I'm constantly on this podcast talking shit with, like, dumb people, will that affect your perception of me long term? Will you start to see me as a person who's not very, very bright, with just two stones to knock against each other and create a fire in my head instead of a brain? What do you think? I don't know. Let's talk. Actually, this is a very interactive podcast episode. I want all your comments in the comment section. And please don't be upset at me that I've been gone for a while. I promise to be back every Monday, and I'm going to make this a routine. Today's Monday, actually. Look at that. Reporting for duty, Agent Nyambura. Anyway, so Cardi B and Stefon Diggs broke up, and there's all this stuff going on about, like, Stefon's court cases and assault charges, and, you know, just a whole lot of shit. And it's, I don't know how I feel about that. And the most recent one was with Chris Blake. I forget the last name, but I'm thinking it's Griffins or something, I guess. But anyway, I was just like, gosh, this must be so hard, like, postpartum. And I'm actually also doesn't give a fuck, you know. And that's why I love this girl. Like, she literally might not even be giving a fuck. She might have already found someone new. Because this is literally Cardi B we're talking about. God! Anyway, I really hold her in high esteem. And she's, like, a close second for me after Rihanna. Because, like, Cardi is someone who I feel like I would go out with and have a good time. Not, like, to the club, to a boring thing. you know, a boring thing. Like, after going to the animal orphanage every term when I was in class 6, 5, 4, because when you become number 1, 2, 3, you get like a free day where you all go to the animal orphanage. So I went to the same animal orphanage like 1,000 times, and I was you start to like cram things and remember vivid things and to have like certain image like reflect, like you remember the place reflectively. Where was I going with this? Oh my God, going to the animal orphanage. And if I went with Cardi B, I feel like I would enjoy, like I would remember. You get what I mean? Like, you know how you, just doing something boring multiple times and then just losing the what you, there's no shock value, you know. So umeboeka, and then like for one of them you switch it up and go with Cardi B, I feel like I would have a good time. That's just me. Anyway, so the other thing I also wanted to talk about is the polygamist. I know, it's been talked about so much. I personally took to social media immediately. Like, I was fuming. I was raging, like physically. If you looked at me, and I would be lying if I said that that didn't inadvertently affect my breakup. I feel like it influenced it in some way, in that it like the show reinforced in my head, like you know what niggas are capable of. And I just like, it's like, you know how you get snapped out of something? That's what happened. But like, I had no reason to think that my ex was doing anything shady, you know. He's actually a really good person and I wish him all the best. But like, when just it's not just my perception of him. I rarely have like male friends also around me, so men are a little far removed in my from my world, if I do say so myself. Honestly, I think there's not a thing, there's not a problem that I'm facing that I could face that I would that would require me to call a man other than my father. So like, all the women in my life can fix my all my problems. There's nothing I need a man for. Where was I going with this? Oh yeah, so men are far removed from my day-to-day experience, and so I don't perceive them normally. I don't know, there's something. I think I've said this before. It's just the going to girl schools only and just like not having male siblings. Or just, I think the closest male figures in my life are my cousins, who we grew up together, obviously, but then there's only so much time you can spend together, you know. It's not siblingness completely. Like, there's a love that's, I can't explain it. Anyway, so I watched The Polygamist and I was enraged. I was enraged and I finally decided to read the book because I needed to know if that's what the author meant. Because ain't no motherfucking way, bitch. Ain't no motherfucking way, bitch. Anyway, so I got to reading The Polygamist. It's a Zimbabwean book by a female writer called Sue Nyati, like Nyathi. Sue as in Sue. She apparently wrote this book and had been trying to sell it, like to sell it to the media companies for a while, and it kept getting rejected. Or was it authors? What, no, sorry, the editors? No, the publications. Yeah, the publication companies. And they kept rejecting it, but like it finally got. That she finally sold the rights to the book. Also, I'm about to spoil it for anyone who hasn't watched it. It's okay, you can skip on and just try and catch on to me later. For now, I just want to talk about this fuck-ass show. I actually was very taken aback by the audacity. Like, the audacity, it really was. God, I wish you could actually see my face right now. I could not believe the pace at which this nigga could get into a vagina. The pace itself, the spaces between each other, it's lacking. It was barely there. Oh my God. It's the hope that kills, I think. Honestly, like, you know how when he broke up with Joyce and went and started living with Matipa, and for a year he was gone and he was with Matipa, and then he just switched up on Matipa on the night of their divorce. Jesus Christ, my Lord. Don't remind me about that divorce scene. The divorce paper scene when he made her sign divorce papers and then fucked her right after. On some I miss you shit. Oh my God. Oh my God. That had to be. No, he had to get that idea from Lucifer himself. That's who he got it from. No fucking way. No fucking way. Even when I think about it myself, like, do I have the capacity to fuck niggas like that? I don't. I don't. I can barely fuck one nigga, bro. Like, I think I'm actually on borderline asexual. If. Would I say that? Yes, I genuinely think I'm like low-key asexual. Or I haven't quite figured my sexuality yet. Because, in a way, I'm very sexually chill, very vanilla, very unaware, would rather not. Actually, I don't know. I don't know what it is that goes on with me, but I get into the seasons and. Yeah, so basically, I don't think I have the capacity to fuck niggas like that. That's crazy. The way also, okay, so I'm gonna give you more details that were in the book. I have them written down on my iPad. I'm just gonna read them out loud to you. But I would say that I enjoyed the show more than I enjoyed the book. I don't know if it's the shock value that I lost. And so I watched the show first, and so like my anger, my rage, the images I was creating in my head, you know, I already had like I could place faces in characters, but there's some differences. One of them being that this book is obviously based in Zimbabwe. The show is based in South Africa. The book though is based on in Zimbabwe. And so over time the country goes the it's a recession in this bitch. Yeah. So the economy is plummeting and they Jonasi is older, you know, when he was turning, I think he just turned 46 or something, 45. 45, I think. I'm talking about like when it's about to Isha, when season one was about to end. He was kind of losing his money. He actually was losing his money. And even by the time he was dying, because there's a part, okay, the book, I'm gonna give my honest opinion on the book. I think it's very simply written. It's a book that when I was reading, like I came across typos, and I don't know about you, but that would usually seriously throw me off. When I'm reading a book, when I keep seeing typos, I don't know, it disturbs a part of my brain. But it also had like very ambiguous descriptions of certain things, like. Trigger warning. I'm about to talk about sexual misconduct and assault and rape. So the writer tends to throw the theme of rape around a lot in the book. I can't fault her because now I catch myself almost defending a man. Like, why is she throwing it like that? Like, it's not very calculatedly written or introduced into things, in the book. I mean, I'm talking about the rape theme. Like, so Essie actually got Sarah from rape. Jonasi raped Essie, and that's how she conceived Sarah. The other thing with the book is that Essie is portrayed to be very dirty. And even how the book describes her, it's very... She says, like, you know, the book is written in chapters where the women, the four women, five, how many women were they? I forget the number, but I know them by, I know them off the top of my head. The women are each narrating, yeah? They're narrating these scenes, yeah? So each, you read each woman's mind per chapter is a different woman. You get what I mean? So Essie, when she's describing herself, she's very, like, very dirty, she says. I think there was a sentence like, her dirty pussy or something like that. She's talking about how she hadn't showered for days and, like, just how disgusting she was. She was presented very disgustingly, or rather she presented herself to be very disgusting. And so that scene where... she gets out of a car when they're driving back from the tavern and she needs to pee, but she doesn't have tissue or anything. So in the book, the scene is described like this. So she didn't have tissue and she needed to pee. So she peed right in front of the car and then she couldn't wipe. So instead, she like put her arms on the ground and started shaking. And she was really voluptuous in the book as well. So she like put her arms on the ground and then started twerking or like shaking, and then Jonasi just came from nowhere and started fucking her. Like, it's very, I don't know, for a simple book it's a very heavy theme, but then it must be there. Also, I catch myself trying to be like, where would a writer, and then I'm like, but did the man not, isn't it the man who's throwing around the rape? Why would I blame the writer? She's just describing what happened, bruh. I'll be so damned to defend Jonathan. Fuck that nigga. So Essie actually had... I need to have a system with how I'm telling you the story. Essie actually got pregnant and had Sarah from rape. Lip. Jonathan found her fucking around with some guys from the slums and he beat the shit out of her. He beat the shit out of her and raped her. Yeah, that's what happened. Then in the book, also, Joyce was not an influencer. I think that's also something that's like a bit obvious. I don't think I've read a book that has an influencer in it. That's too recent for me to read, but that's very ignorant of me, and I should actually read more new age books. So Joyce did not actually, she was not an influencer. She actually did not have a job at first, and she didn't finish uni. So she got pregnant, she didn't finish school, and so she was relying solely on Jonasi. But then later on, she joins Sarah's uni. Not Sarah. Oh my god. Oh my god. I'm so sorry. Who is Sarah? Is Sarah Essie's daughter? I'm so sorry. I actually need to remember. Oh yeah, Sarah is Essie's daughter. But then I forget. Gosh, I need to research this before I continue. Yep, it's Sarah. Sorry, I was confusing. It's not Sarah, sorry. She goes to Mpume's school. She joins Mpume's school. Mpume is her daughter. Yeah, and then she does accounting. And so after that, she works for the big four, one of the big fours. And what else? She falls in love with her professor, but then they never really come to do anything. They never really get to doing anything, actually. Oh my God. Yeah. So the way they described Essie also, I don't know, man. Like, Essie was a real dirty bitch. Oh, actually, something else that was not in the show is how Jonasi ended up having HIV. Apparently, it's Essie who actually gave it to him and not someone who she found in a cell. There's no scene like the scene where she goes to where Joyce goes and burns down the house, burns the house a bit, burns Essie's and sorry, Matipa and Jonas's house. So Essie is the one who actually gives Jonasi HIV, and then when Matipa found out about the gonorrhea, when Jonasi came home that evening, he wanted to have sex and she refused, and he actually beat the shit out of her after she told him that she didn't want to have gonorrhea, that he gave her gonorrhea and he should strap up when he's cheating, at least just have some decorum or something. So he beat the shit out of her and he beat the shit out of her. Like, it's not even a joke. Like, you know how the book was describing it? It was so crazy, bro. Like, I don't even know how to describe. She was beaten with the buckle of a belt. She was black and blue. She had scratch marks. She was bleeding. It was really bad, God. And so she, oh, and then he also raped her in that scene in the book, anally, which is crazy. Like, Jonasi, by the time I was finishing that book, I hated that man. I hated him so much. Oh my God, I hated him so much. And then up until that point also, he had raped Joyce. Also, Joyce managed not to get HIV because she got her doctor to lie and insist that for her gonorrhea to end, they need to have sex with a condom so that it can get out of her system completely and totally. So he agreed to be using protection with her, and so that's how she ended up not having HIV, which is so insane. Which I think is like a something that I think the writer just added to make her feel, to make you see, like, something about African writing is that there's always a winner and a loser, and there's always reparations, which is something I grew up reading a lot. Especially from West African writers, because that's who I used to read a lot from. So I read a lot of Victor Thorpe, I read Chinua, I read a lot of West African female writers as well, and it just, the themes around the books, I loved it. I loved that. I loved that they always had like a winner and a loser, and like a there's a dopamine that I was getting from that. And so when I went to high school and I started reading like super fucked up white people books that don't have a happy ending, I actually had an aversion to non-African writer books, non-African written African writer books. Yeah. Yeah, but then my disdain for white writers has grown less and less by the years. So, the economy was so tight when Matipa left. She went to China for a few months to just kind of think about her life with some man, and then she eventually went to the UK and married a white man. So Matipa marries a white man. And you know what prompted me to actually go read the book? It was actually a TikTok comment section. I was going through a TikTok comment section and someone said, And then actually you find out that Jonas is not dead, and that this is excuse me, and that this is a dream. That was hilarious. That actually shook me. I couldn't believe that that man was coming back for a second season to ruin my life again. I was so mad. Oh my days. I really hated that man. So he also ends up just kind of dying a really horrible death because of his illness. But in the book, you know how when we used to be kids in primary and high school, our English and Kiswahili teachers would always insist that you can't die in your story. Like, you can't die in your composition and then be telling a story from, like, the afterlife or whatever. So the last chapter of that book, actually, is Jonasi giving an overview and, like a review, actually, of his life and the decisions he'd done. And he said that people always said that he loved Joyce and that's why he stayed with her all those years. And he said that the truth is he never loved any of his wives more than the other. He just loved them all for different reasons. He loved Essie because he loved her. She loved him when he was without anything. He loved Matipa because she was smart and they actually had like a friendship going on, and he just thought she was a cool girl and he thought they could kick it. He loved Joyce because she taught him class, which is so insane. I will not be teaching men anything moving forward. But he said he learned class from Joyce. And he said Lindani was fun, and I don't know, he just, like, I couldn't believe that he was talking even in the afterlife by the time I was finishing the book, because I was like, aren't you dead? Can you shut the fuck up? No one cares anymore what you have to say, you dirty old man, you dirty, filthy, nasty ass nigga. God, I was mad. I was so angry. Jesus. And then people were in my comment section just telling me how, Ati, oh, Nyambura, why are you so mad? This is just a movie, bro. It's just a movie. Is HIV an alien illness? Is it a disease for the birds or for people? And isn't that how it's transmitted? I was giving some serious points across, and I was putting across some serious points, and along will come a fucking spider telling me about some Nyambu. It's just a movie. Are you crazy? Your inability to relate, to reconcile art with reality is a bit, you know, don't take away my very real and very honest method of life and perception with this piece of art that's been presented to me. Are you insane? Are you crazy? Anyway, I think I have come to the end of this episode. Although, I'm gonna put you onto some shit that I've been watching. I've been watching Bates Motel. Bates as in B-A-T-E-S. Bates Motel. God, you guys. It's a really good. I want to say good and cool at the same time. It's a really cool It's a really cool show. You should watch it. And I've been watching Community. That's my. These are my comfort shows, actually. So Bates Motel, I watch when I'm feeling very, you know, just I'm easygoing. Life is good. It's chill. I'm in a serious mood, but not too serious. But like, you know, I'm capable of perceiving something morbid. That's what I watch, Bates Motel. Then when I'm feeling whimsical and just happy and grateful for life and very Pharrell Williams, I watch Community. It's a really funny show. And when I'm feeling very It's just me and myself and my bed and my blunts and my lighter. I watch The King of Queens. The King of Queens. Queens, New York. I love that show. So yeah, I've been having all those shows that I'm juggling, and life is really good. Also, what else have I been up to? I've been reading hella novels. I have been reading hella novels. I'm currently reading Beneath the Lion's Gaze, which is a book I bought for book club last year, and never got to actually reading it. And the girls at the book club actually are very smart, and they excite me. So the decision of a book, the choice of book, the recommendation, I will listen to and I will take. Anyway, this has been me, GK Nyambura. I hope you're good. I hope life is being kind to you. I hope you are happy. And I will catch you on the next one. Bye.